Hey, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you very, very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. And as always, feel free to reach out to Jeff at beekeepingfornewbies.com. It's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. All right, everybody. Welcome to another exciting Monday. We have some interesting weather going on. I think that the bulk of the... Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to give my credits at the beginning. Today's warm-up song credit goes to Rihanna, Only Girl. That was what I was singing in preparation for talking to you today. But the weather has been a little crazy lately. We got some folks up in, I think in Pennsylvania, we're talking about some 20s and 30s. And I know we've got the tornadoes going all through the South and the Midwest. So hopefully things are settling down a little bit and we can get into some good bee weather. I know we got a lot of swarm traps out there in the world and folks are ready to get things rolling. So I hope that you had a great weekend and you're ready to get back to work with your regular work as well as your bee work. So before we dive in, check us out on YouTube. It's just youtube.com/@beekeepingfornewbies. We got the Discord room. There's a link to that on the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage. If you're not familiar with Discord, it's just a kind of a chat platform that you can go to. There's a lot of different servers on there. We have a specific server called the Beekeeping for Newbies server, but there are servers on everything. I was in a ham radio server at one point in time. I did some stock trading. I was in a couple of server rooms that were part of stock trading. There's any subject you can think of, you can go and search for and find them. But we have one specifically dedicated to us, completely free, no fee associated with that. You just jump in there and start chatting it up with the rest of us. And I just established a site called bestbeekeepinggear.com. I put one thing in there with about 10 of the things that I'm actually using in the apiary, really basic, simple stuff. But I'm going to start adding in some how-tos and a lot of tutorials and different things over time. It's just a little side project I'm playing around with here. Okay, so today what we're going to talk about is a really difficult thing to teach somebody by audio. Now, my intent was to say, hey, really cool, I did this video, and then here's the audio, and now you can go watch the video, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, and they'll kind of come together and form one cohesive kind of educational experience. But the weather is really kind of crappy right now. I thought it was going to rain yesterday, so I held off. It was raining this morning. It's looking like it might be raining. If I can get a 30-minute gap in the weather here, I will jump out and do the video, and then I'll kind of cross-link them to each other so you can hopefully take a look at it. But I'm going to talk you through it, and hopefully you'll remember some of this. If not, you can always come back and listen again. Or, you know, you could probably even just play it while you're standing in your apiary. So we'll just run through all of the, you know, how, why, when, where, what. We know who the who is. That's going to be you. Well, you and I together. We're doing this as a team. I'm not going to leave you hanging. Don't worry. But we're going to go through all of the questions of everything relating to the inspection. So let's just start off with number one. Why are we even doing an inspection in the first place? It's really difficult to manage and care for something if you're not assessing it and measuring it and seeing, you know, its health. It's really kind of goes without saying, right? You can't have animals or livestock or in agriculture. You can't have crops. You can't have these things if you're not managing them in some capacity. Now, it's funny. There was a time where people would have hives in the yard and they'd be like, oh, yeah, I really don't mess with them anymore. But they're back there in those boxes in the back of the property. And they could actually survive and everything was okay. It's not so much like that. There are still instances of that all over the place. You just happen to have a strain of bees or a genetic strain of bees that has resistance to varroa, and they're very hardy. Those would be actually great bees to capture and make some queens from. But as a regular modern, you know, hobbyist beekeeper, you've got to be pretty engaged. So I would say one of the first things that we want to look at is the queen. We want to look to verify that the colony is in fact queen right, that she's present, and that things are going well. We know that the queen pheromone drives all the activity within the hive. You know, a lot of people will always kind of say like, hey, the queen is the backbone of the hive and she's everything. Like, she really does one thing. She lays eggs. Like, that's all she does. She just lays eggs. The nurse bees really are kind of in charge of everything. They're the ones who really run the operation. But that pheromone that queen emits is what allows everything else to be normal and right. So we've got to have a queen. So as part of that, we're going to be evaluating brood patterns. We're going to be looking for the presence of eggs, larvae. If we can find the queen herself, bonus, that's always nice. We're looking to see if there is any possibility that they're becoming overcrowded. Maybe there's some swarm cells. They may be thinking about swarming or preparing to swarm. We're looking to see what kind of resources they've gathered so far in the spring. So we're looking for pollen, nectar, you know, any capped honey. checking out for pests like high beetle, wax moth, varroa mite, anything else that could be in there. We want to see general health of the brood as well, right? Not just looking for the presence of brood, but being aware of possible, you know, brood-borne illness that could be presenting itself as well. And we just want to look overall at the population. We're going to check with our notes from our last inspection and see if we've seen an increase in population, which, of course, at this time of year, we would hope to be seeing that, definitely seeing it over the next couple of weeks. So now we know why we're going to do it. So what do we actually need to get this done? So for brand new beekeepers out here, you've kind of got a rough idea. We've been talking about this a lot lately, trying to get you folks prepared and ready to go. But you got to get your protective gear. You got your hive tool. You got your smoker. Maybe a couple extra pieces of equipment around that you might use. Like I said, I like to have a little cart in the yard when I'm doing my inspections. Very helpful. Notebook or your voice memo thing like I talked about the other day. Maybe if you're, you know, recently installed your queen, maybe you want to have your queen marker ready so you can go ahead and get her marked. Wouldn't hurt to maybe have a camera if you want to take pictures or videos of anything. These are all things that are kind of nice to have on hand. Not all of them are mandatory, but you'll get a rhythm, right? You'll get a rhythm over time. When you first start, it's like anything else, right? You show up, I joke around, like I see these guys, like I my brain goes to like what we would call LARP, like live action role play. Whereas some guy like shows up like full gear, like decked out from head to toe in whatever. And then you're like, all right, get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of that, get rid of this. Okay, you just need these two things to go do whatever it is. You'll get to that point. You'll show up with your cart. You'll have like 3 extra boxes, 10 extra frames, 4 hive tools, 3 smokers. You have all kinds of stuff. And then you'll realize over time, like, okay, as long as I've got my suit, my smoker, my hive tool, I can figure out the rest. But give yourself that opportunity to do that, right? It's all part of the journey and the experience. So don't worry about me or anybody else bullying you. We're just having fun with you. We're not laughing at you. We're laughing near you. Okay, so now that this is a kind of a really important question, and it's when, right? The when do you inspect? Now, we'll talk about both sides to this. We'll talk about both conditions as well as frequency. I like to target, really, I prefer it to be kind of closer to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. But I'm, you know, you can go, you know, 62, 65, whatever. The challenge that you're up against here is the longer time that you have brood exposed to developing brood exposed, you know, to colder temperatures, the greater the risk of them becoming too cold. You don't want them to get chilled. So, you know, like that 65 and up kind of temperature range is okay. Can you open the hive in cooler temperatures and get away with it? Yeah, you can. Just maybe try to keep it at a minimum. Don't spend all day in there. Make things brief. You know, a lot of people have kind of said like, hey, I never inspect in the wind. Oh, my bees get angry when it's windy or whatever. I don't deliberately go out and seek windy or not windy days. When it's inspection day, I do inspections. You know, now if you think about that kind of intuitively, if it's windy, it's possible that, you know, they regulate temperature very well within the hive through fanning and through use of water and other things, but they're very good at managing that. When you open it up and that air blows through, it completely blows their plan. So I can see where they might be like, hey, we have a thing in place here and you're disrupting that, and they may not like that. I really have never noticed. I've never noticed the bees act differently towards me. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. I don't know. I will try to do a better job and report back to you on that one. But the general rule is to try to keep it to light or no wind, preferably, if possible. Now, different people have different strategies for the time of day when they do. Oh, real quick, a little go back here, and don't do it when it's raining. The bees are kind of tuned in to barometric pressure. Like if they think it's going to rain, they won't necessarily forage as far away. They try to stay closer to home. There's going to be more of them there. They might be a bit more agitated if you're messing with things. So if you know there's rain in the forecast, you see the dark clouds coming, push the inspection later in the day, or the next day, after the rain, whatever. Just give it another day or so, if you can. Now, as far as time of day goes, you know, our good friend DJ in the Discord room, he likes to inspect his at like 7 o'clock in the morning. He likes to get up early, get the inspections knocked out before it gets too hot. He's in Mississippi. I get it, right? It's stinking hot down there in the south in the summertime. And if you haven't gotten it done by 9 or 10 a.m., sometimes, you know, getting anything done after that is pretty exhausting. So I can completely understand why he would do that. A lot of people would advise anything from mid-morning to mid-afternoon because that's when the bulk of your foragers are out foraging. You just have less bees to contend with while you're working inside the hive. that certainly makes sense as well. But again, just try, you know, try to avoid, you know, anything around bad weather. Don't go in there, like if the sunset is 8:30 or 8:45 p.m., don't roll up in there at like 8:20, right before it's getting dark and start disrupting everything. Try to keep it during normal daylight hours. Keep the temperature, like I said, above 60, 65, and you should kind of be okay there. Now, frequency, and again, those are all temps in Fahrenheit. Obviously, it's not going to be 60 degrees Celsius. Now, with the frequency, I would say, and we've, again, I know we've talked about it before, but I really like to kind of just keep harping on these things and try to reinforce these concepts over and over again, and also recognizing that some folks are just jumping in. This is their episode one, so I want to try to do the best I can to keep it balanced between, you know, new information and old information. I really, really like to stay on that once a week. Once a week, if you can, you got to push to 10 days, that's fine. You go beyond that, you're putting yourself in a bit of a danger zone with, you know, swarm risks and other things. But new colonies, spring colonies, definitely every 7 to 10 days. Once you get past the swarm season, so in my area, we're looking like 1 June, we're really not going to see a whole lot of swarms beyond that at my house. There's just no more nectar flow, it's over, that's it. Now, the kind of the thing here is we're on a peninsula, we're surrounded by water, we got a lot of tree pollen. Once all the trees are done, that's kind of the bulk of it. Now, once your colonies are established, you can definitely push things out to 14 days when you have that, you know, time in the summer where there's a dearth, there's not as much going on. However, I still, if you can do it, I still would like you to be in there once a week because there's other things that happen. There's robbing activity. You need to assess their food stores. Do you need to be feeding them during a period of dearth? There's still a lot of things that can happen. You know, your big risk in the spring is like swarming. That's it. You're paying attention. Swarming and growth. Swarming and growth. That's it. You get to that summertime and it's all starving, disease, hive beetle, robbing. It's all the other things that start kicking in.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this? A movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then... You get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Okay, so now we're going to get the where and the how here. Now, when you're doing your inspections, I always tell people that my recommendation here is to stand to the side of the hive, because if you stand in front of the hive, you're in the flight path. And bees are very, very good. Here's a fun little game you can play with your bees if you like to, you know, have some side fun at their expense. Place your entrance reducer to one side or the other of the hive. So let's say you have a standard Langstroth hive. Have your entrance all the way to the right, about an inch wide. And leave it there for as long as you want, whatever. Leave it there for a week or two or whatever. And then go ahead and slide the entrance reducer all the way to the right and have the entrance now all the way on the left or in the middle. And you watch them fly back, and they will fly back exactly to where that hole was and that opening was into the hive, and they're completely messed up. And then there are bees that are going to come out, and they'll see other bees come out from the new entrance or the new exit now for them. And they're like, well, I see stuff over there, but I know I'm supposed to go in over here. It will mess them up, and they will walk all around and be disoriented. They are super dialed in to exactly where they're supposed to go back into that hive. If you're standing in the way, they can't really see their markers. They're having trouble figuring out exactly where they are. They got to go around you. They're bouncing off your backside. You know, you don't want to deal with that. Stand to the sides, left or right, pick a side, doesn't matter. And this also kind of plays into how you align your apiary too. Like if you're putting hives side by side, like a lot of times you'll see a lot of us online and we use the cinder blocks with the 4x4s and we put our hives on those 4x4s. That's cool and that's great. But that introduces some other challenges because I can't really get on the side. And the way that I do mine is like, let's say, for example, if you've seen the video that I did on YouTube where I talked about hive placement, I have mine facing north, south, back and forth. So when I'm inspecting from the edges, I can get on the side. So the number one and the number six, I guess it would be hive in that row, I can do those from the side. But when I move to the next one to be on the back of it, basically inspecting from the back, I'm actually standing in the front of a hive to both my right and my left. So that's where it becomes a little bit more interesting. So if you're new, and this is your first time doing inspections, and you maybe decide to get like four or five colonies, absolutely have at it. I wouldn't recommend that configuration though. Do a configuration where you can move completely around the colony and around the hive without impacting, impeding, or impairing the movement and the flight of the adjacent colonies. So you're standing to the sides and you're getting ready to do your inspection. I want you to try to slow things down. Take it easy, nice and calm. Nothing has to be fast. Bees respond. Think about the hive being in a tree. And there's like a bear climbing the tree and they're scraping and scratching and they're, you know, the tree's moving side to side and they can feel the vibration of the bear grabbing onto the tree. All of those things are like hardwired into their DNA to be alarms to them. So you're outside that hive and you're banging around and knocking things around. They're like, well, that can't be good. Right? And then you start ripping the top open. They hear that cracking sound. That a sound to them is like, okay, these are branches cracking, or this is the wood cracking around my hive, that something is tearing it open. So take it slow, no hurry. But what I like to do is I'll do that puff of smoke, a couple of puffs near the front of the entrance. Now it's funny, there's like the textbook way that they say to do this, and then there's what actually happens. The textbook would be, put three or four puffs of smoke near the entrance, go ahead and crack the lid, put three or four puffs up under the lid, close it down, and then wait 30 seconds. Okay, now the real world is, couple of puffs here, a couple of puffs there, start ripping things apart and just puff as you go. That's kind of what seems to happen. Again, you'll find a rhythm. Don't overthink it. Start with what the textbook says. Just put some smoke up front. Let them kind of take that in. They can send out a little alert to everybody like, hey, I think there might be a fire. Not really sure. You know, maybe it'll block some alarm pheromone. So there's some positives and some good things coming from the smoke. But just don't be banging things around and making a lot of noise. You do your inspection. And then when it's time to put everything back, you put it back in the same order and you move on. Now, I know I've broadly kind of covered a lot of this, but I'm going to do kind of a lightning round of all the things that you want to be looking for again while you're in there. A lot of activity, colony ramp up, particularly in the spring. I want to see a lot of buildup. We want to see more comb being drawn. I want to see more nectar being stored and more nectar being capped into honey. This white comb, you're going to see this white comb as a new beekeeper. This is growing comb. When you see white comb being drawn out, brand new comb, you're only going to see that when there's a flow on and when there's new development taking place. When you see it like on the, like you pull the inner cover and it's all on the inner cover and you see it in other places, they need more space. That's a good indicator. The presence of a lot of burr comb is a good indicator that they are running out of space and they're just trying to find every scrap, every little corner, every nook that they can to put an egg or put some resources. So make sure you're ready to expand with that. But again, eggs, larva, cat brood, you want to find your queen, good brood pattern, nice and tight. Lots of oral jelly in those young larvae. You're looking for bugs, beetles, moths, and of course anything that stinks, right? If you pull a frame out and you see something that's weird on it, it has a kind of a foul smell, definitely pay attention to the things that you can smell as well. All right, now just kind of a couple of little tips here around efficiency within the inspection. I do remember very distinctly my first year, and as I got into like weeks 4, 5, 6, I'm pulling out and looking at every single frame. That's really not necessary. You need to see all the things I just listed out before. But the reality is, particularly now when you're in this growth phase and there's a good nectar flow on, if you open the hive, you go right to the middle, you pull that middle frame out, you see eggs on that frame, good chance the queen is either there or she was there very recently and is probably within a frame left or right of that frame. Reach in, take that out. If you see that queen, and you see everything else looks fine, you can do a 30 to 60 second inspection and you're out. I mean, that's the reality of it. You don't have to tear everything apart every time. Looking at every single frame, what are you getting out of that? you can see, you can just look, you can glance down and see. The reason that I do kind of encourage people to go ahead and take, you know, not necessarily all of them, but frames that are being used, the reason I encourage you to go ahead and take them out, there's a couple of them. One of them is that propolis is this sticky substance that bees will place all over the inside of the hive. Everything is going to get covered in this propolis. So all the practice inspections that you do in the yard before the bees get there, that's going to get turned upside down when you actually start doing your inspections and everything is covered with that sticky propolis. But if you don't remove those frames, they will keep layering on the propolis all over the place. And then what happens is you try to take that frame out, and it is much more difficult than it would be if you just went ahead and took it out every week. So go ahead and early on get used to what it takes to remove a frame. Get comfortable with physically removing and replacing those frames. There's a little bit of practice that comes with it. The more bees you have in the hive, the more stressful it becomes. So the better you get at it, the more comfortable you're going to be. But just know that, like, long term, you know, down the road, you don't have to physically look at every single frame. If you see, you know, a lot of activity on, let's say there's 10 frames, and you see a lot of activity on 7 or 8 of them, and one of them there's nothing going on, that might be a frame to take a look at. It's possible something has gotten into that or is actively causing a problem there. You need to yank that frame out and replace it. So pay attention to everything that you see, but you don't necessarily have to see everything. I would say if you can, ideally, try to keep your inspections to, you know, probably no more than 10 to 15 minutes. You know, I got distracted right now. There is this, I feel so bad. I have this little canal, right? I have really bad ADHD. I have a canal right by my house, right by my office where I'm recording. And there's this mallard duck. And I see these ducks every spring. And it's usually one or two males with a female. And they're always in pairs or groups all the time. And for like the past 2 weeks now, I've seen this one little mallard by himself. And I'm like, oh no. He lost his lady friend. So anyway, he just swam by and kind of feel bad for the little fella. Anyway, yeah, 10 to 15 minutes or so is a pretty good time limit on keeping the hive open during an inspection. Now, you hear me say this a lot. You know, this is kind of like the old, I don't know, soldier, fire, EMS, whatever it is in me. But there's always a thing about, you know, taking care of number one, taking care of you, looking out for yourself. And I do harp on this a lot, and that's probably never going to change. So, you know, we all need to adjust. But take breaks. On hot days, drink some water. You're not being assessed. You're not being evaluated. No one's going to give you a hard time. If you go out and you have 4 or 5 colonies and you're like, nah, I'm only going to do 2 today. I'll do 2 tomorrow or whatever. Or you want to do 1 and take a break, drink some water, come back and do the other. Like, just make it a nice little relaxing thing that you do. Don't stress out over it. Don't get out there and just start, you know, sweating to death and falling out. I can't have you guys passing out on me. So, you know, take care of yourself. Drink a lot of water. Stay safe. Okay, last on that little list here is just to make sure that you're keeping good notes, right? And if you don't know what to keep, here's what you could do. Fun little thing we can do together. Do a recording of yourself. Do a voice memo. And do the whole inspection and just talk about everything that you see and send it to me. Send me your voice memo. And then I'll go through and I'll be like, okay, cool, this was great. You did everything right. You had a lot of good things that you observed. Of this whole memo that you mentioned, these 7 things are what you should write down. Right, I'm happy to help out if I can. All right, let me go over a couple of common mistakes that happen here on your inspections, particularly for newer beekeepers. Smoking too much or not at all. So this goes to a guy who had given me some not so great advice a long time ago in my first year. Never smoke your bees, it's bad for them. So I think there is probably a little bit of evidence out there to support that over smoking a colony can impact their productivity for a couple of days following, you know, that inspection and that smoking. But a little bit of smoke is not going to affect things. It's not going to hold them back. They're going to keep going. Everything's going to be okay. But the advice I had was, oh, you never smoke bees. That's really bad advice. That is really, really bad advice. I opened those hives up and I had angry bees all over me and they were relentless. It really, really is a great tool. Use it, but don't use it too much. Now that can sometimes cause somebody to say, well, what do I do? Like, what is too much? Like I mentioned before, 3 or 4 puffs at the entrance, 3 or 4 under the lid, wait 30 seconds. Once you open it up, nice, you know, 3, 4, 5 puffs across the entire top. You're not shooting the smoke necessarily down into it. You're not pointing it down in and trying to smother them. You're just drifting it kind of across the top, and then you'll pull the frames out. I usually end up doing one round of smoking per box. So I'll have, let's say 2 Honey Supers and 2 Deeps. The Honey Supers I yank off pretty quick. I don't spend a lot of time looking at them. It's just honey, don't care. That's not where my problems are likely going to be. I get down to the first deep, smoke. Start going through my inspection. Sometimes if I'm there for a while doing something, I may do a second round of smoke. But again, we're talking 4 to 5 puffs at a time and probably no more than 2 rounds of that at the most. Now, the other thing, and I've mentioned it, is forgetting to light the smoker. You start trying to open things up and you're like, oh boy. If you figure that out, just close it back up and go light it. But don't go in and be like, well, I'm going to try and go without and see how that goes. And if I need it, then I'll light. Once they get irritated and they're on alert, like, they're not going to be happy. So just go ahead and do it ahead of time. Or if you forget and you start opening it, just close it back up, get everything lit, and then go back. And the next thing I would say is it's great to find the queen. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say on every inspection, finding the queen, I would put it at like a 4. If you miss her on that first inspection, I would say that the next week I put it at maybe like a 7. But if I'm seeing eggs and larvae, I kind of don't care. I like to see her, but it's not the end of the world. I know she's there. Don't go through and tear everything apart because you got to see that queen. And what I mean is, let's just say you had a single deep, but it's getting pretty well packed out. You've got your frame rack on and you pull the frame out. First one, nope. You got 4 frames hanging off the side. You got everything in the middle moved around and you're just going back and forth, frame, nope. And just keeping everything open and looking over, it's not bringing any benefit to either of you. You see the eggs, you see the larva, she's there, put it back together, try again next time. And another recommendation that I would give is go online and search for images of queen bees. And I'm telling you, this was immensely helpful for me. And I've had several people tell me that this was helpful for them as well. Just go and look at images of healthy queen bees. And the more that you ingrain that in your mind of what she is supposed to look like, you've probably seen those things where you're trying to find something in your house and you're like, oh, I need to find this one thing. And your brain knows what it looks like. And it can look past like 100 other things in that area, but it's looking for that one thing. And you're like, I can't find it. Well, it's right there. But your brain had like a different image of what it really was. And this was slightly different. That's exactly what I'm getting at. In your brain, you're seeing workers, you're seeing drones, you're like, okay, but you don't really know exactly what you're looking for. Once you know exactly what to look for, finding queens becomes so much easier. So give that a shot. And remember, don't leave the hive open too long, right? Especially when you get later in the season, you get closer towards like, you know, dearth periods or into the fall, the robbing season is in, having everything opened up will really send out the alert. And that's definitely not cool. The other thing in the kind of common mistakes area is not documenting what you see and when you see it. Those things, that information is really important and you want to hold on to that. The other thing that I would say is really common, and you know, I think we're all guilty of this, even when you get to be really good, even when you think like, man, I got a handle on this, I'm a good beekeeper, I got it all figured out, you're still probably going to do this. And that's basically doing your inspection and not even thinking. Like, I've had times where I'm like, yeah, I'm probably going to need to go ahead and add a honey super. And we might do this, we might do that. And then I just go start doing my inspection. And then I'm like, oh my God, I didn't bring the honey super. I didn't bring whatever it was. Like, for example, feeding. I'm like, oh yeah, I think I might need to feed this hive. Would it make sense to go ahead and mix up some sugar syrup? I don't know. It might. I mean, if I know I'm going to feed them. But, you know, there's times where the brain just doesn't connect it all together. It could just be me. I'm willing to accept that. And last on this list, and it comes back again to safety, don't ignore your own hydration and your own minimizing your heat exposure and that risk. All right, everybody, I know that doing an inspection and talking about inspections and the processes and everything, it's not easy to do via audio, right? And I recognize that. I'm just trying to get a couple of key points that hopefully you can kind of put in your mind, make a few notes, remember this, play it again later, maybe right before you go into the bee yard, have it playing in the background while you're in the bee yard, whatever makes the most sense. But these inspections, they're all about, you know, learning, supporting your bees, It's not about micromanaging them. It's about documenting what's there, staying consistent, making sure they're healthy, and making sure you're doing right by them. So if you would, check out the Beekeeping for Newbies homepage. We've got some nuke plans on there. We've got swarm trap plans on there, a couple other pieces of information. We have a link on there to our Discord room like we talked about earlier. Always check us out on the YouTube channel. It's just at Beekeeping for Newbies, N-E-W-B-E-E-S. And that's about all I got for you, folks. So take care, be kind to one another, and remember that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We'll talk to you soon.
We're shipping Easter gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send gift baskets?
For sure.
Protect electronics? Dog-proof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.